So let's take a few minutes to explore and have a look at problems. I'm gonna pretty boldly state right now that the clients that come to you with problems are only coming to you with problems because they feel like they have problems. Sometimes the greatest problem that we have in life isn't so much the circumstances that we're in, it's not so much to do with the situations that we've got going on in our lives or the people. It's more often than not just the way that we feel about our situations and circumstances and so on and so forth. But here's the thing, bottom line, as life coaches, if we are to be effective at life coaching and supporting or mentoring or guiding or leading or nurturing people in life, we've got to understand a pretty effective problem solving process. Right? Remember the idea that responsibility breeds empowerment. People are only ever going to become empowered in life when they take responsibility for overcoming the issues and problems that they have themselves. The problems that many people actually have aren't so much circumstantial or situational. Sometimes the greatest problem that people have is actually just wrapped up in their own irresponsibility and willingness to own those issues that are actually theirs. All right, because many people focus more on what they don't want in life than upon what they do. So what I'm saying here is that many people's perspective is naturally problem-focused instead of solution-focused. When our outlook on life is solutions, you know, how am I going to get more off in my life, what I want, then we don't have time for focusing on the things that we don't want and the things that we don't like. Why? Because we're always naturally working towards something. So what I'm saying here is that people's effectiveness in life is generally going to be determined by their outlook. People will focus on the negative or they will focus on the positive. So what I'm not encouraging here is positive thinking. All right, you can read all the positive thinking books in the world and you can chant as many mantras as you want and all that kind of thing, but it sure ain't gonna get you any results if you're not making modifications on an attitudinal and a volitional level, which is all about the choices that you make. All right, so I wanna share with you here, kind of like an overview of the problem solving process first and foremost, and then we're going to explore what that old hero of mine, Gerard Egan, has to say about the matter. So first things first, if we are to be effective at helping people solve and overcome their problems in life, we've got to get pretty good at defining what problems are and also what problems aren't. Because sometimes some people will focus more on what problems aren't than upon what they are. I remember having a coaching session once, and it was actually a young lady who I stopped working with, all right? She came to me and she says, yes, I am really, really anxious and stressed and I have these panic attacks, all right? And in the end, after a few weeks, I literally could not, for the life of me, establish what the root of this problem actually was. Right. Now, the reason why she'd come for coaching is because our boyfriend or our partner at the time, he was working over in America and she wanted to go across and visit him. All right. But she was having these panic attacks and anxiety attacks and all this kind of stuff about getting on a plane. And I said, have you ever been on a plane before? And she said, never been on a plane before. I said, have you ever known anyone who's gotten a plane that's died before? And she said, no. And then we looked at the motivation, the reason why she should get on a plane and all the rest of it. And she just wouldn't book these tickets. She wouldn't budge. She wouldn't move. And as things transpired, believe it or not, she was actually panicking at the thought of just panicking on a plane. She was getting anxious at the thought of just being anxious on a plane. And sometimes what I'm saying is there are some problems that people have that you can't coach them through. All right. Sometimes some people just need to mature in their thinking first and foremost. All right, before we can actually help them or support them. So first things first, we've got to define what problems actually are. And if a client is coming to us with problems, well, we give them that time and space, all right? We know that more often than not, it's not that people actually have problems, it's just they haven't yet identified solutions, all right? So first things first, the first part of the problem-solving process is defining what the problem is. Then we've got to analyze it. We've got to look at how this problem's actually outworking itself, how it's not outworking itself, who this problem's actually impacting. If it is in fact impacting anyone, we've got to work out what it is and what it isn't. But sooner rather than later, we've got to start looking at solutions, because here we're focusing on problems. Here we're focusing on problems, and people have a tendency of feeling that which they focus on. Remember, thoughts produce feelings. So can you imagine what it would be like back in the day when many counsellors and many forms of therapist, you know, sit in their sofa, cross-legged with their notepad and pen, and they're asking people about their childhood memories. People are coming in because they're sad or depressed because there were, you know, perhaps some bad things happened to them back when they were young. And then you ask this person to focus on and think about and talk about their childhood memories. this is kind of like putting your hand on the stove, on a red hot stove, and expecting not to get burned, all right? When we focus on hurtful, painful events from our pasts, guess what happens? We feel them, all right? We can't do anything about the past, but we can do everything about our future, all right? So we're going to be either problem-focused, our attitude is going to be one off focusing on problems, or it's going to be one off focusing on solutions. So this is kind of the switch. People are focusing here upon what they don't want, upon what they don't want, upon what they don't want. But focusing on what we don't want isn't focusing upon what we do want, which is the solution. If a person isn't focusing on what they do actually want, well, we have no goal. There's no goal to work with here. There's no goal to start getting smart about, all right? You catching what I'm cooking? So, what I like to do is work with clients to identify a number of possible solutions, all right? Because variety is the spice of life, right? And we like to leave people empowered to make decisions for themselves, right? And sometimes a decision that a client will make in terms of overcoming a problem or, you know, actively working towards solving an issue in their life, it might not always be the best option, but at least getting them moving, well, that's progress, especially if someone isn't moving. All right, so we just want to get people thinking about taking that first step. Once we've identified the number of solutions, then through the process of elimination, we want to get them to choose the solution. This is not about us advising or saying, well, that looks like the best option to me. All right, it might be the case that we agree with a client if they say, well, you know, I think this is going to be the solution that I go for. I think this is going to be the action step that I take next. Then we put in place a plan of action so we can hold them to account, all right, through the implementation phase, which is going to happen between now and the next session, by the way. All right, remember, if they don't take action, they can't have a second session, because there's no point. They haven't done anything. Coaching must be progressive. Now, it might be the case that life happens, stuff gets in the way, and a client does have some valid reasons why they haven't taken the action steps that they need to, that they said that they want to take, or it might be the case they were absolutely petrified or burning up with anxiety or something like that, in which case we then might want to go and explore some limiting beliefs, explore the thought patterns with them. We might want to use Socratic questioning so they can logically and rationally work through their own internal process of life interpretation. All right, but if after a few weeks a client isn't taking action, then this means that they're not receptive, which therefore means that they're perhaps not yet ready to change. That's going to be a choice then that we need to make at some point. Are we going to continue to give our time to someone who isn't ready yet or willing to change? It's down to us. I know many coaches, many therapists who will continue to work with clients week in, week out. No impacts ever made, no solutions ever come about. And I know many coaches and therapists that are fine with this, and they're more than happy to call themselves professional. What I would be more inclined to call these people is completely incompetent, all right, and incongruent at the same time. Incompetent and incongruent, all right, but that's just me. I'm a results-focused kind of guy. So, last year when I had a conversation with Mr. Gerard Egan, author of The Skilled Helper, right, I was actually pleasantly surprised to find that, yes, granted, we both come from different corners of the globe, we've both got some very different sets of life's experiences and some very different outlooks on life, but there was a few ideas that we both fundamentally completely agreed upon, all right? And this was the process that Jerry takes to solving problems in life. Very, very simple, right? going to demonstrate this in the next video with Karen, right? This is the Gerard Egan problem solving framework, right? That again is just very, very conversational. He actually kind of breaks down the problem solving process into three stages, all right? So yeah, here I've presented you with six, but this six can kind of be broken down further into three. Define a problem, analyze problem is just one conversation within itself, so we can kind of categorize these two together. Then we've got identifying solutions and choosing solutions. That's kind of like part two. And then there's defining a plan of action and implementing these action steps. That's kind of phase three. All right. So this is kind of what Jerry was talking about. The first stage that he referred to, you know, in terms of his skilled helper model, was the first phase of exploration, where he's just simply having a conversation with his client to work out what's going on for them. Is to find out the backstory, what the issue is, what the issue isn't, and really get to the roots of why this issue or problem is holding them back. It's helping them or the client to identify a source of pain or deficit in their life, right? Because people don't like deficits and people don't like pain. Most people just want to feel happy and fulfilled and content. So once we've got to the root reason why this pain or deficit exists, then it's very, very easy for us to shift the focus of the conversation away from what they don't want and towards what they don't want, towards what they do want. Well, fantastic. So you don't want this pain, you don't want this deficit. What do you want instead? What do you want instead? Very, very simple and a very, very powerful question that we can use to shift a person's perspective right away. Now, I'm not just talking coaching skills here. I'm talking about conversational skills that you can build into the context of your day-to-day relationships with people. If you do have a family member or a friend or a loved one or someone who you hang out with who's just so doom and gloom and focused on the worst case scenario all of the time, oh, I can hear you talking about what you really don't want here, but tell me, what do you want instead? I'd love to find out what it is you do want in this area of your life. Most people never think like this. They become so transfixed and focused and kind of mesmerized by what they don't want, they never think about what they actually do want instead, which is why in coaching, this is an actual process. It's something that we must do with intentionality, right? All right, getting people from the negative into the positive can sometimes be hard work, because for many people, living and operating in the negative is kind of their default mode, all right? So coaching is a very, very much a perspective, an attitude shifting process. So this stage involves challenging existing worldviews, existing perspectives, attitudes, all that kind of stuff, you know, asking them, so how is this attitude, how is this outlook on life actually serving you? Is it serving you? Is it serving other people? Remember that that matrix I shared, was that last video or the video before? You know, is this win-win, lose-win, win-lose, or is this lose-lose? And that's when we can use frameworks like that to help our clients or those people that we're trying to help to identify how their attitudes or habits or behaviors are potentially costing them more than, you know, they're willing to lose. And then we've got to jump right into action planning. So once we're clear on what we actually want or what our clients want, well, it's fantastic. So what are the possible solutions? What's the best solution? What's the first step you can take? Okay, what's the second step you're going to take? What will you do first and by when? And again, we integrate the SMART goal setting framework into this process. It's all and well having a goal, but the goal must be framed in the positive. Otherwise, a person stands at risk of perpetuating back to their past and that which they don't want. All right, so we use, again, the SMART goal setting framework just to analyze the goals. What's the first step you're going to take and by when will you do this? We want our clients to be holding themselves to account. All right, so this is it. This is the skilled helper model. And that's the problem solving process. Very, very simple, very, very straightforward. We've built a resource into this video that I think I mentioned. It's called the Problem Solving Workbook. And to be honest with you, in time and through experience, this will just become a conversational habit for you, all right? So it'll just become, it's kind of like riding a bike. Once you have started working with people or helping people in this way, it just becomes second nature to you. But until it does become second nature, you might have to go against your own default mode and really kind of go through this process with intentionality and purpose. And to help you do this, we've built the resource into the additional materials section. So, I'm going to strongly urge you to take yourself through the process first and foremost to familiarise yourself with it. Then in the next video, I'm going to welcome back Karen, where we're going to have another conversation. We're just going to simply look at a problem that Karen currently has in her life. I'm not going to give her any warning to come up with a scenario here. We're just going to ask her to be completely honest about a problem that she perceives herself as having, and then I'm going to address it and work with it using this skilled helper model problem solving framework.